Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, last broadcast of the last one of the year.
Yeah, this is it.
12/28/2016 is over.
It's done. Lots of shows, lots of fun, lots of interesting things happened during the year, I got to tell you.
Well, and then we'll have on the next show, we'll have the winners of the grand competition,
which will be January. Yeah, some people are really close. I have some of the things we'll talk about on the show about who's the top five, who's closest right now. And we have some people that are pretty close, actually. Pretty interesting.
Okay.
But let me tell you what's going on real quick. We have lots to cover. We're going to talk about why I listened to DH Unplugged. A lot of listeners sent in their responses, and we'll go through that. But I want to talk about the markets first, kind of slowing down towards the end of the year. We've had lack of volume, of course, because it's normal. People are on vacation and kind of like did their things already. Nobody wants to wait till the last second to get things done. We've had several attempts for the Dow to get to 20,000, and each time it's been thwarted.
Yes, I'm very disappointed because now what I think we're witnessing is one of those situations where you have the ceiling and it's just not going to get over it.
Yeah, there was a good attempt today. I thought it was going to actually possibly get there today. The futures were up. We were about, I don't know, 40 or 50 points away. And all of a sudden, the markets usually would be opening up and you see this big spike on the open. But today, all of a sudden, it became this reversal where the markets just started to move down. There wasn't really anything necessarily that was like terribly out there that was economic news or any kind of geopolitical news, but it seemed to just get worse throughout the entire day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down over 100 points. The second time it was triple digit since the election. And now it's at 19,833. And I was wondering, you know, why is that? What happened today? And one of the things that I've been hearing is that there is the potential for a massive sell on close order. In other words, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, there's going to be a massive rebalance, selling off of stocks because stocks ran up so much. Now, all of a sudden, hedge funds and pensions, institutions.
Tax considerations.
I don't think, taxes, yes. But really, I think they'll be holding that off until next year. A lot of people will be holding because the expectation is that taxes will be lower in 2017.
Oh, they're believing all that. Good.
Yeah. But billions of dollars of equities are supposedly going to be sold at the end of the year, right at the end of the year, and rebalance into bonds because bonds really took it on the chin, right? And stocks went up so much. Now, if you had a requirement to have, let's just say, a 50-50 portfolio of stocks and bonds, now, let's just say you're at 45-55. You're going to have to cut that 5% out of the stocks, rotate it back into bonds, and it's going to happen at the end of the year, right on the last day.
What?
Yep. Sell on close.
So what you're telling me is that the market's going to rebalance itself and boost the bond market in a situation where we're borderline collapse of the bond market?
Potentially, if there is a requirement, and they have by investment policy statements or by requirement for the, let's just say that there are a lot of funds that have to be balanced. And I'm using 50-50 or 60-40 as an example. If stocks have gone up so much and bonds have come down and they still have the same requirement because they haven't changed any of their internal numbers in terms of their allocation, they're going to have to rebalance. So they're talking about billions of dollars of supply coming on the market for equities. And possibly what's happening is that ahead of that, they're trying to sneak in so that they don't, you know, cause a major disruption the last day.
Hmm.
Possibly. We'll see.
It wouldn't surprise me after you bring it up, but geez.
Now, we saw that this week the consumer sentiment is up to the highest levels we've seen in years. The Conference Board came out with their index. It was 113.7 in December, the highest reading since 2001.
Huh.
Now, according to briefing.com, I got some information from them. What was interesting is the sentiment index is based on what is consumers feeling about the current situation and also future expectations. And the entire move of that increase is primarily because of the expectations index or the future hopes index. So everybody's thinking that, hey, it's going to be much better in the future. May not be good now, but you know, wow, things are really going to be good. And
what leads them to this conclusion?
Well, they have that hope. I mean, and that's a good thing. When you see yeah. that happen, people will spend more, right?
Yeah, sure.
And usually the expectation is a pretty good leading indicator. But who took credit for all this?
Trump.
Of course. Did you see his tweet on this?
Yeah.
So his tweet says, right after this comes out, the U.S. Consumer Confidence Index for December surges nearly 4 points to 113.7 in capitals now, the highest level in more than 15 years. And he ends it with, thanks, Donald, exclamation point.
That's
thanks, Donald. So now you see all these hashtags, thanks, Donald, all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Donald.
I can't believe this guy, not only the amount that he tweets, but also what he tweets and the constant patting of his own back.
Yes.
Have we ever seen?
Yes. That's what I mean. There's no. Does this surprise anybody? The patting on the back. I mean, this has been his MO before he was even in the 90s.
It's crazy. I mean, it's so unpresidential.
Well, you know, that's another thing. Who says?
Me. I'm saying. Okay. Well, in my opinion.
You say it's unprecedented.
Yeah, it's my opinion. I'm not saying anybody else. My opinion.
Okay.
Do you think
I just find a lot of this? Oh, this is a tradition that he's broken the tradition. Oh, this is a tradition. I'm thinking we're not even an old country. It's not like we're, Greece or anything, going back thousands of years. It's like, oh, he's broken a tradition. You look into the tradition, the tradition's 30, 40 years old. That's not much of a tradition. It's bull crap.
Mm. Well, okay. But I do think it is quite, it just sits wrong with me that he's patting himself on the back for this. It just sits, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I think a lot of it is kind of satire. I don't think he's doing any of this seriously. He can't honestly believe, and I don't think anybody believes he does, that because he got elected that the market is doing all the things it's doing. It could have done just the opposite and it wouldn't have surprised anybody.
I beg to differ. I do think that he believes that and it due to the fact that it was exactly after his presidency, how things went, haywire to the upside. I do believe he thinks he has a lot to do with it.
Well, I think he has something to do with it. I think people are, but I don't think he has as much to do with it that he should be patting himself on the back. I got elected. Hooray for me.
I am the man.
Give him a year, see how this works out. Yeah.
Now, I mean, speaking about tweets, he's also tweeting about other things that, again, I think are inappropriate. Like last week, we learned that he was looking to expand the nuclear capabilities in the U.S., and we learned this through Twitter initially. And I just wonder, first of all, the whole idea of expanding nuclear capabilities after we've been on a multi-decade position to reduce nuclear capabilities for us and everyone around the world. And I wonder, first of all, that's a little crazy, but also is Twitter the right forum for such ideas and comments like this?
But I don't know. I would have to say unless Twitter was around in the 1930s, we really have nothing to compare it to. Maybe this is the future. I would assume that when Franklin Roosevelt began his fireside chats over the radio, that people like you and others would be saying, oh, I don't know if it's appropriate that he's talking on this newfangled radio. It's kind of weird.
How often?
Why isn't he talking to somebody else? Why is he talking on the radio? Has he got a radio show?
How often did Franklin Roosevelt do his fireside chats?
I think they were weekly, weren't they?
These are multiple times per day.
Well, that's because it's a tweet.
If you took the
entire fireside chat and you counted the words, I'll bet you it would probably be the same as like multiple tweets.
You know, now that you mention it, I will say that other nations, like, for example, in India, Modi is constantly talking, or Shinzo Abe is constantly saying things daily in Japan. So yeah. Maybe we were the anomalies.
That's possible.
And maybe they, you know, this is more of a, and we've had the Fed speaking almost on a daily basis, not tweeting, but talking on a daily basis, trying to talk things up. And, you know,
I would say the Fed thing changed drastically in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. So maybe this isn't so crazy now that you mention it. It just seems weird.
It's just the new technologies force you to do new things.
Now, with this tweet that he put out about the nuclear capabilities, which kind of, you know, got people a little bit concerned, do you think there's any coincidence that India is now successfully test firing a long range nuclear capable missile just yesterday?
Well, I hope not.
3,107 miles it can go.
Where could that hit?
The other side of India, probably. it's a large country.
As long as it can hit Pakistan, that's all they care about.
It's on the border, right? It's exactly there. Some other economic things. Latest report on consumer spending showed an increase of 0.2%, while consumer income was actually flat. So we have all this really good confidence going on, and we have this future confidence index that's really strong. But yet, consumers, the advance that we saw in terms of consumer spending in November was half that of October. So there's a big discussion. Well, maybe these aren't really good numbers because, you know, we see that other things like consumer sentiment's really strong. So maybe there's some kind of weird thing going on. You know, you wouldn't see it the other way around. If things were really good, consumer confidence was really low, you would be like, oh, you know, confidence is really low. And we just saw a 4% increase in consumer spending. So maybe that's not right. It's only if the numbers aren't good.
Yes.
By the way, you can find all the notes and the information about what we talk about over on DH Unplugged, the charts, the graphs, the copies of the tweets, things like that that we're talking about. You can kind of fumble along with on the site there. And the last thing I'll mention, I think the last thing about President-elect Trump, I find it very interesting some of the people that he's placing in his various his picks for various heads of departments. So, yeah. So I guess this head of the Health and Human Services Department, a guy named Tom Price. He, I guess, was trading all sorts of shares in health-related companies over the past 4 years while sponsoring and advocating legislation that could potentially affect the companies that were involved.
Okay.
And we know this is legal because Congress has allowed it to be legal. So it's not insider trading or anything like that because Congress says it's not insider trading. But if it wasn't Congress, it would be insider trading.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought, you know, you and I talked about some of the things we'll be talking about on this episode. We thought we'd kind of keep it a little bit lighter. Talk about some of the things about, you know, what's going on with the holidays. First of all, I thought one of the best things I saw was the new partnership between Amazon and Goodwill. You know, Goodwill, where you can drop your clothes off and various items that you want to get rid of.
Junk.
Yeah, junk. This is great, though.
A lot of the Amazon stuff would go there naturally.
Eventually, too, right? So yeah. They have a thing. They created an organization called Give Back Box. It's going to provide shoppers with a way to get rid of their cardboard boxes and some household clutter. So if you have any of these items in your house that you're wanting to give to Goodwill, the company's new partnership with Amazon could actually help, where it's going to have this box that you could just send things back, and I guess there's no charge for it, or send things in. It's pretty much Goodwill with shipping. So you don't have to schlep everything out to that Goodwill store or that Goodwill dumpster.
Bins.
Yeah, the bins.
The dumpster. Go straight to the dump.
So
make sure to pick up a receipt.
Exactly. And then, you know, and just fill it out with whatever number you want, by the way.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I thought we'd go over some of the things that we did in 2016 related to DH Unplugged, podcast and
good.
Things like that. So kind of we can go through these together. First is we had that Bitcoin poll. Was it a viable currency? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you've seen Bitcoin lately. Have you looked at this?
I hate looking at it because it always makes me think something's going on.
Something's going on. I think it hit like 940.
Okay.
I got to pull this up here. Let's see. Bitcoin. It's been really moving. Ever since there was the It's 986. Wow. That's a pretty move. Pretty big move.
Yes.
This is...
Could have doubled your money if you bought some at 400.
Yeah. And it's been there. That was this year. It's moved up again. And this all started really ramping up again this year when China put on some of the restraints about moving money outside of the country. Remember how they slowed down, first of all, the gambling money, and they stopped that. And then they stopped the whole, remember the credit card scheme they were doing with, you can use multiple credit cards to buy insurance policies and insurance related products. And that was kind of allowing you to get around the maximum limitations of how much money you can move into various investments outside the country. So, mm-hmm. So Bitcoin started moving pretty dramatically on that. So we learned that. That was kind of a cool thing. What else do we have? We had the Guess the Money contest. We had a pile of money that we made a graphic of.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. We, of course, had the DH Old Codgers versus Millennials that we put into action in May. And guess what?
The Codgers are ahead, finally.
Yeah, finally. So this happened, I think, last week or the week before. The Old Codgers are up about 7.5% since, I guess, nice. It was May or something like that. And the Millennials are only up about 6%.
There you go.
Now, we also updated and overhauled the entire DH Weekly Stock Picks, where now they're kind of ticking and live and all that right on the site automatically. And you can see what's happening with what we're picking and all the stops. Everything is right on the website.
Colorful.
Very colorful. We added all new and revamped Closest to the Pin competition. We have also brand new this year, the highly coveted DH Unplugged t-shirt as a prize.
That t-shirt is dynamite.
Yep, it is. And new ways to donate. I'm just waiting one day to be walking around somewhere and, you know, kind of somebody walk by with a DH Unplugged t-shirt. That'd be kind of cool.
It could happen.
Yeah.
It's the kind of t-shirt that looks like it'd be popular in certain parts of the country. I'd say Beverly Hills and Florida.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You probably see some in some other areas, and maybe even in Florida, you see some maybe on the beach where they cut them up a little bit, cut the sleeves off and cut the bottom off and have it on the beach.
Yeah, maybe with a bikini bottom.
Yeah, beautiful bikini bottom, yeah. New ways to donate we also have on the site. You can donate on a regular basis if you want because you love the show, and that's all. I mean, that's a lot of the things, but we also overhauled the entire site and did a lot of work to it. So pretty cool stuff there. Now, what John and I also learned this year, and we can go back and forth on these, some of the things that I went back and I looked at some things, and John sent me a few things on kind of the things that we had throughout the year and what we learned. Some of the things were apparent and some not so. So I learned that John can play some very odd instruments. There you go. finally, you took the bait. All year.
I know you've been trying to get me to do something like that.
All year I've been trying to do that. So you have, what is that one? That's a recorder?
That's a plastic recorder that won't keep a pitch.
And you have something else, another strange one.
Yeah, I got that crazy stylophone, I think it's called. I don't have it handy. I don't know where it is. The stylophone is fascinating to me. It's like the early synthesizer from the 50s and still looks like something from the 50s.
And have you been practicing at all or not?
It's nothing. I mean, I could practice if I do something more than just play a couple of simple songs, but no, I've decided that it's not worth my while.
Mm. And we also
learned practicing golf.
Yeah. All right. What else do we learn here, John?
You can't tie a bow tie. Remember that. Yeah. And then you've had the instructions and you still couldn't do it.
No.
I felt that was a low point on the whole year.
That's it. Yeah. We also learned that no matter what, you can blame everything on the Russians.
Yeah. And they like it.
And they love the whole, they love the attention, don't they? Not only do they love it, their stock market goes through the roof once they realize that they are once again causing trouble, or at least perceived to be causing trouble.
Found some way to invest in that.
It's like they've, they're no longer just doing nothing, laying out there and communism doesn't work concept. It's more like, wow, we are really a powerful region that can really disrupt and influence everything around the world. And all of a sudden it looks like Russia became, really the national pride of hacking. That's really, yeah. You know,
even though they didn't hack anything. Well, it's pretty clear they didn't do much.
Yeah. Let's see what else we have.
And by the way, a phishing attack, which is very common everywhere, is not. I don't care who does it. For one thing, anyone can do it, but that's hardly hacking.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's exploiting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hacking's different. Hacking is more of without your knowledge, even. It's invisible behind the scenes, right? Yeah,
getting into the kernel, going into the admin mode deep inside the machine and fooling around in there. You know, that's a lot different than, you know, what's your password?
We learned also this year that 62% of Americans don't have at least $1,000 in savings.
I found that distressing.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible. Advertisers will be using virtual reality to win customers.
Yeah, this reminds me of the, remember Real Life? I think it's still in business. Real Life, whatever it's called. Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
Second Life.
Is that still around?
I think it is.
That was big.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it is. But Second Life had these advertisements they would put inside the game. You know, you'd be walking down the street, there's a billboard. It's got some Coke, drink Coke kind of thing on there. So this is not new.
Right, but the virtual reality is new, not just the product placement inside of it.
Second Life was wasn't virtual reality in the newest sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, it's very similar. I don't think this is effective.
We haven't really seen it get into play at this point because virtual reality still has a long way to go, unless maybe the whole Facebook Oculus or this new Samsung thing or the Microsoft deal is going to all of a sudden have product placements inside of there.
Microsoft thing when they first showed it, it was over a year ago. And that's with the one where they had the game and it was augmented reality and things would creep out of the walls and attack you in a game environment.
Mm-hmm.
And us coming through the walls of your own house. How long does it take for them to get these sorts of things into the public domain where they're actually making money? They demoed it like well over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing.
Fell off. We learned that fake news and fake ads are a thing. It's we're not quite sure if the whole fake news is fake news or if there really is fake news and that is swaying people. But the whole fake news thing became this overwhelming focal point.
Yeah, to me, this has been, I keep reflecting on this and it keeps boiling down, as far as I'm concerned, to the fact that the real news media can't deliver real news and most of the fake news comes from them, but they want to create this new meme to take the burden off of them so people don't notice how poorly they're doing insofar as serving the public.
Yep. We also learned that people will pay lots of money to dine naked in London.
Again, I won't pay a lot of money to dine naked in London.
I would pay a lot of money not to dine naked in London.
But this again reminds me of another gimmick. This is this is a depression, so we have these kinds of gimmicks. I keep forgetting that some of these are just part of that. But my favorite one is the dine in total darkness.
Oh,
remember that trend?
Yeah, they still have a restaurant down here. People are like, hey, you want to go dine in the dark? I'm like, no. No.
Dine in the dark.
No, thanks. No.
Why?
Yeah. I'm like, what do you do? Do you somebody feeds it to you? And I don't know what I'm eating. I'm not really interested in eating something that I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Yeah. We also learned that Uber is not, and I repeat, not a ride-sharing service.
I thought it was.
No. It is definitely not. There's a new social experiment contemplated in Switzerland where people may be paid up to $2,500 per month for doing nothing. And we said we were very happy to participate in that.
Yes, you can send me a check immediately.
Pizzas will be delivered by drones.
Yeah, which is bullcrap.
Mm-hmm. Amazon self-checkout is a big risk.
I wrote a long column about that.
That was only a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Cupping. All the rage with Olympic athletes.
Oh, I forgot about that too. Yeah. That was the dumbest. In fact, even the swimmer did it. It was just the dumbest looking thing you've ever seen.
You look at
it. Why don't you explain that? I'm sure some people don't remember it or didn't even know it took place.
This is where they take a, what was it, a hot a cup is, and the you suction in various parts of your body. And yeah. when the cup comes off, it supposedly brings blood to certain areas of your body and does some kind of rebalancing of your muscles and all this. But you're left with all these circles that look like burns on your body. And all of a sudden, the Olympic swimmers take off their shirts and they're ready to go to the pool. You're like, what the heck happened to them? It's terrible. Cupping. Everybody's always very excited. Cupping is the way to go. Zika mysteriously comes and goes in 2016. Yes. We learned that constant currency is the new norm as an excuse for poor earnings. We also learned that Yahoo reports their security breaches about 3 years after they happen. That's going to be the standard, I suppose.
Yeah, it worked for them.
Yeah, we learned that Trump tweets will give us plenty of comedy and talking points for the show for the next 4 years. And as we mentioned earlier, the old Codgers portfolio took some time to warm up, but now ahead of the millennials, the ETF. Now going on the list of what happened during the year, we have from the weekly stock picks, the top five best picks of the year and the worst picks of the year. And I must tell you, once we go through these, there is a significant something that is consistent in one of these.
Yes, I'm noticing that.
Why don't you go through these?
All right, we got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 top stock picks were Barclays, which I think is still in play, or isn't it?
Yeah, it's still in play.
That was a co-pick from, it went up 50%, which was a good move for a bank. And then Yang, YANG, the Direxion's daily FTSE China Bear 3X, is one of those crazy ETFs as a tripler, was almost as good at 47.8. That was Andrew's pick. And then Sarepta Therapeutics, which was another combined pick. And I forgot what the rationale was for that, but
Yeah, that was a drug on. Where the guy was. The FDA, the main guy that was like saying no to the company, finally said, finally was all of a sudden off of the roster of working for the FDA and then just shot up.
Yeah, at 42%, as a matter of fact. Resolute Energy, which is what your pick, 31.63%. And then Nintendo is my pick at 29.5. Those are the top gainers for the year.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hit any 10 baggers or anything like that, unfortunately.
Nope.
But we don't really play the games. Usually not played that way. And also, we play the game in such a way that I'm sure there's plenty of stocks that went far higher than this if we had stayed in them. But the game is played in a certain way where you get bounced out when there's a little fluctuation. So that takes care of it. Then we have the worst stock picks of 2016. The top five is the number one, which these are really not bad. The 17% down was General Cannabis. Royal Bank of Scotland is down 14. Insys Therapeutics down 14. Francesca's Holding Corp down 10. And Ocean Power Technologies, a dubious pick in the first place, down 9.73. And they all have one thing in common.
Yeah, what's that?
You picked them.
I nailed it. Should have been short. Oh, well. What can you do?
Well.
Now, we asked you over the last several weeks to send us your comments on why I listen to DH Unplugged. What it is that, you know, kind of brings you back all the time to listen to John and myself on a regular basis each and every week. And we have a list and some comments. We're going to kind of go through those. Some of these are interesting. Some of these are a little bit long. Maybe we'll shorten them down a little bit. But you want to start with them?
Sure. John Browning writes in, I only recently found your show, but previously listened and watched Twit for a long time because I became a fan of Mr. Dvorak's after he seemed to disappear from the show. I began looking for him and found your show. That's pretty interesting. He says, love me some John C.
Mm-hmm. Then Jerry Lenski writes, I do a little personal investing in my 401k account and like the perspective of what's going on in the world and how that might impact the markets and my investments. I have been listening for a year, but not traded anything you've discussed. I do some research in the stocks mentioned. However, I listen weeks after the podcast is released, so I don't trade any of the stocks discussed.
Timothy Kiernan writes, Hi, guys. I started listening for John, but kept listening for Andrew. The appeal of more Dvorak analysis and anecdotes remains strong. But Andrew seems like just the nicest guy, sincere and humble and not taking everything so seriously. sent both guys copies of Dr. Pippa Malgren's excellent economics book, Signals, last week. Yeah, we got a copy. Because I want to thank them for doing the show, and because Dr. Malmgren has a unique, almost DH unplugged, no agenda way of analyzing what's going on with the world's economies. I hope you enjoy the book as much as I do. One last thing I like about it, DH Unplugged, is that you keep it to an hour. Subscribe to so many podcasts, it's annoying when shows like No Agenda run to 3 hours, no matter how great they are. DH Unplugged is an hour per week, and it should just stay that way. Always leave the audience wanting more.
Mm. Brian Taylor writes, it's my financial crackpot and buzzkill.
Eric P. writes, I listen to the podcast to keep informed with happenings in the stock market to surround to sound intelligent at social gatherings.
There you go. And someone who is anonymous writes, I need something to listen to in the morning, which is obviously from No Agenda.
That's some sort of a pun. Chase Tomlinson. I'm 36, never purchased a stock, thought about it, but don't have the extra $2,500 to play with. But I understand the role of the economy in our society, and I hate, and I like to hear two intelligent people discuss the topics of the day.
Ben Shadow writes, I'm so disgusted, I think he meant disgusted, and disillusioned with the news that your show has become my top resource to keep me up on to date on what's going on. Forget CNN, NBC, Fox, Al Jazeera. All I need is DH Unplugged. Thanks, guys. I truly find your show of value.
Dean Warmel.
Maybe we could shorten this a little bit, maybe.
I will. Year-end reflections are typically good. We access what has changed from a year ago and think of ways to improve life in the coming year. Some can be a bit more anal about this than others, but all is good. So when you ask the question, why do I listen to DH Unplugged? The Talking Heads lyric popped into my head from Once in a Lifetime. Well, how did I get here? Okay, well, then he has a long exposition we don't need to know.
And then he says, but he finished off with the unrehearsed conversation, like no agendas, refreshing, et cetera. All good. Thanks, Dean. Nick the Rat writes, trying to demystify the stock market, so maybe one day I will invest money to make money instead of staying stale. The more I listen, though, it seems to confirm my fear that is just gambling and I'll probably be poor forever. Oh, gosh. I also listen to keep up to date on all the scams.
Scams.
Yeah.
Steve Maratia. The How I Met Frank Curzio through Stansberry and his weekly podcast there. I finally did meet him in Las Vegas. He interviewed you, leading to your podcast. Finally, your podcast referenced DH Unplugged, where I knew John Dvorak from Leo Laporte. Why? I like your Andrew and John's common sense and sense of humor. You provide great information and are entertaining, too. Hmm. Thanks for all you do.
Mike Paco. I love the banter between John and Andrew. Unique perspectives on markets, investments, especially since Andrew actually manages money. Fun aspects of the show, like the contest and the old Codgers index. I donate to the show to support John after reading, listening to his commentary for almost 2 decades. Wait, let me just make sure. I donate to the show to support John. Okay, all right. Okay.
Good man. No agenda or agenda. No agenda.
I love that. Yes.
No agenda. Why? Because listening to John grouch about everything is fun. And to hear a Jewish man give good financial advice is hard to come by. I started listening just because John was on the show, but now I actually have some knowledge of the stock market and know what it means to short something or go long, the things to look at when I'm in a store like Sears. You guys rock.
Dan Victor says, because of Dvorak's anecdotes, because I have no idea what's going on with the economy otherwise, because Horowitz appears financially well off, so I trust his financial opinion, and because both hosts are genuinely entertaining.
Huh. John Savolainen. The show covers a wide variety of topics relating to investing and does so in a fashion that makes for easy listening. Over the years, your shows have contributed to whatever exists of my own financial literacy and to that of my now adult children. Many thanks for sharing your wisdom. Wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday season.
Chris Ebert writes, I started listening to DH Unplugged because I always enjoyed listening to Andrew's wonderfully informative, disciplined investor podcast and love listening to John on Twit and ZDTV for years. Wow, that's dating back, huh?
Yeah.
Andrew's and John's engaging personalities make the podcast entertaining. I enjoy hearing their rather lighthearted commentary on financial markets and the economy. I'm very appreciative that Andrew and John take time out of their very busy lives to produce such a great podcast. I listen to the podcast more for the commentary and the closer to the pin updates rather than the stock picks. However, the stock picks are interesting too.
Indeed. Dennis Pettit. To paraphrase Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, boy.
Andrew and John tell me things I don't know. I don't know. And they do it in a way that I can understand and why I should know it. And they're fun to listen to. Mm.
Jeremy McCrate writes, there are many reasons I listen to DH Unplugged. First of all, it's John C. Dvorak, who I follow since the cranky geek days. Secondly, in the advice, insight, and commentary on the financial markets from Andrew Horowitz. Third is the contest and the stock picks. But last but not least, the outro music never gets old. I find myself seeing my last dollar bill from time to time when I open my wallet to find only a single dollar. Keep up the great work. P.S. Who sings the outro song and what is the title? I have trouble finding it online.
I'll get you the, you know, the funny thing is we've been playing that for so long. It's an old classic. I think it's from Ben Selvin's band, and it's called My Last Dollar Bill. And I'll get you the singer's name. Ryan Walker. Insights and Entertainment, ITM.
ITM. Tom Wolfarth. I'm a longtime listener and monthly donor to the greatest podcast in the universe, which I guess is No Agenda. Along the way, I discovered that JCD did this particular podcast. Now I'm not into the financial market at all, but I enjoy the banter between you two. I've also found that DH Unplugged is great for helping me fall asleep on those nights where my brain just won't shut up. There's something about you guys talking about the markets and Shake Shack that helps me drift into sleep. Thanks.
It's probably the crazy, the terpene or whatever that's in the, what is that stuff called? It's in turkey meat. That Shake Shack probably has in its milkshakes. Oh,
the push. The pump.
Philip Curtis. I could probably go on about why I like you two numbskulls. I forget exactly why I discovered a podcast. Either I was researching finance podcasts or found it by JCD. When I first started hearing JCD, I thought to myself, geez, what the fuck's the matter with this guy? What a whiner. Christ, finish yourself off already and give us a break. After that first show, I heard JCD a few more times, and I personally found like a fungus. He grows on you, and you learn to live with him. All joking aside, I appreciate his insights, perspective, and tech and finance experience. Horowitz, obviously, to me, knows how to dissect the financial markets in great detail and insight, which I do not have. Well, I think it's a well-balanced opinions pool of various intelligent people combined with your own due diligence is the best way to handle your investments. Time, knowledge, and non-financial careers get in the way of that ideal. I find that Horowitz's opinion is pretty high on my list of people I want to listen to. Together, the show is great. The comedy show is a stretch, but I do chuckle quite often at you two. I have not followed any of your stock picks, but as I'm getting my active with my investments, I would like to use resources you provide more often. Okay.
John Jobin says, I know pretty much nothing about how the economy works. And after hearing John on No Agenda talking about the bond market crash coming next year, I thought it would be smart to try to learn more so I could understand what's happening. I like the unpretentious style of the show. Doesn't sound like at all the other crazy show about economics. Keep up the good work.
Vic, what do we got here? What is that?
It's a Munoz.
Munoz.
Yeah, Munoz.
Vic Munoz. I have been a longtime Dvorak fan going back to when he used to have his portal site up. He brings that no BS, honest attitude to every show he's on, and that is very refreshing. This show is no exception. Oh, and Andrew is all right, too.
some other name we don't have here. I find it possible to register for the site. Okay, as for the show, it's fascinating and funny. Not as more and more podcasts coming ego trips too long and trying to be cool with beer talk. Now is more. That's what's supposed to be. Now is more of more podcasts becoming ego trips too long and trying to be cool with beer talk.
Yeah. You guys are hilarious, says Mike Kazmierczak. Kazmierczak, I think. You guys are hilarious. You both have great insight, and I love the stock picks, even if you aren't right all the time. What I don't like, Andrew or John asking for money.
Yeah, no. So, Mike, listen, I'm going to demand you send in $50 for that, okay? I'm not asking, please. I'm demanding, okay?
No, yeah, right. Yeah, no asking. Yep. No, yeah, right. Don't ask you.
Demand. Not asking you. Send it in, buddy. Sylvia Tucker. I listen for the golf tips and fishing stories, mostly for insightful commentary on geopolitical market feedback and other various investment tidbits you guys find. I appreciate how you offer alternative thesis to the mainstream media takes on that they take on for the most headlines. The conversational format between you two is very easy to listen to. I think most listeners feel the same, that they're a part of the conversation. Also, the insider trading watchdog stuff. Where does John find those gems? And the games keep it lively. I'm a 25-year-old poor graduate student in oceanography, marine geology, and geophysics, and listening to your show makes the financial aspects of my world seem less dismal.
Mark Jasper, best Fed comedy show on the net.
Let's see here. We have Jeremy Adams. Adams Jeremy. Interesting alternative talk on the overall market trends, financial news beyond just stock market headlines. John's interesting find about gap changes to municipal bond financials and Andrew's unique charts, etc.
Brendan Bell. He's been listening since he heard Andrew on Leo's This Week in Tech on one of his shows way back. Yeah, you were back on 5 years ago,
like
maybe.
Yeah, 208, 209, 210.
I always thought Andrew gave a frank and honest opinion on what's happening in the market, something which is hard to find in any sort of media. I can say the same for John. His pragmatic approach to the ins and outs of tech and markets is quite sobering. Of course, I listen to No Agenda. I'm sure there's quite a lot of crossover between the shows. Keep it up. Appreciate your podcast each week.
And finally, what is that? Evan Wern or Wern Evan? To combat fake news, I could be wrong, but you both seem like you're cynical enough and trustworthy to portray news in the most honest light possible. The laid-back style is also entertaining. Well, there you go. Good stuff.
So
good
people
information.
So you can summarize.
Yeah, go ahead.
People are sick of the stiffs.
Yeah. And we could also summarize that a lot of people heard us first way back on Twit or another podcast.
Yeah, or they're reading forever. The Cranky Geeks.
Yeah.
That's another. That goes way back.
Yep.
I still have people saying, get Cranky Geeks back on the air. It didn't do very well.
Now I'm going to, I like that show. I'm going to ask everybody except, hang on a second, except for Mike, please everybody, for the end of the year, you could donate for the show. Mike, you're demanded and commanded to actually donate to the show. But if you want to donate, there's a little button there. Mike, you should and will push that button, give a little bit of a little bit of money for it. Let's do a quick update of the closest to the pin and where we are.
Sounds reasonable.
There's a little button in the middle there. It's hard to find maybe, but here is the current update on where we are on the closest to the pin. First of all, the Dow Jones Industrial now closed at 19,833 as of the close today. The average entry price is 19,525. And this is from about, I think about 14 or 15 people that are the finalists that are playing the game. John Jay is the closest. He's about 0.39 away at 17.
So he doesn't have to write in. I'll save him the trouble.
Uh-huh.
Now you jinxed me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Omar is about 0.5% away. Daniel E is about 0.61. Michael P is the fourth runner-up as of this point right now. It's not closed yet till the end of the week. And Greg W is about 1.45% away, about 287 points. The closest is about 76 points away. It has to come down a little bit to get to that point.
So no one's at the level that it's at? No one's gone over this?
There's people at 20,000.
Okay.
And there's people at 19,757, 19,700. So they're,
it's not going to make, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make 20,000. It has what, 2 days left?
We have, Thursday, Friday. That's it. You never know with this market.
I mean, it could happen, but yeah. I think it's going to decide not to do it.
Yep. But you can take a look at all of the action on all of the current and the previous DH Unplugged close to the pin competitions over on DH Unplugged. On the top right is the latest, so you can click on the top. It says competitions and then list them, and you can see all the ones that are there and who won and what it was all about. And we have some pretty good prizes going out for that. We'll have all new close to the pin starting off next year in 2017. So hold on for that. Should be fun. We talked about the millennials already, so that's that. Let me ask you, do you have an article coming out for PC Magazine?
Yeah, actually, I just finished one on my predictions for 2017. Actually, it's more of my condemnation of other people's predictions.
Oh. What is the big thing about people doing predictions?
Well, it's a killer. It's a spot boiler. It's done. I've written whole columns about this, why they're done in the first place. And then the column itself becomes like a meta version of the problem. Guys are at the end of the year. There's really no news. There's no breaking products coming out. Everything's kind of settling down. People are in the holiday mode. Nobody's even reading this stuff. And so people like to sit back and I'm going to give my predictions. And generally speaking, the predictions are terrible. And if anybody actually has an accurate prediction that's a little off the wall, that means they have inside information. Mm. Or they're just, you know, they have to be very lucky. And many predictions are just predictions of last year's predictions predicted again, and which I think we had a lot of this time. We had a lot of last year's predictions predicted again. It's just a thing. Who can write the most entertaining prediction column, you know, wins?
In the financial world, there's a few people that do this and they make a big deal out of it. You know, they go one of the craziest predictions and they, you know, how right can they be with the crazy predictions? You know, they don't even try to predict something that they think is going to happen. They go outside the box.
Yes, well, you can do this. Some people, they don't do it so much because after a while you get found out. I mean, you can only do that maybe once in every decade. Hmm. But if you do that two or three times in a row, people aren't going to even read you. They start to mock you. So.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about how we'll talk about the stocks and the weekly stock picks in a moment, though. Let's talk about what we're going to do for next year. We're going to wipe the slate clean, right?
Are we?
I don't know. It's up to you.
What we did, which I thought was pretty reasonable, we decided that we could take off what we wanted to and let other stuff ride.
That's a good idea.
That's what we did. Because the time before that, we wiped the whole thing. It was a very successful year in 2014. We had a lot of winners. And we just decided to start from scratch. But 2015... was terrible. And so we started from scratch and leave all those good winners. We got rid of them. And then we never got up to like the green era, the green area, a lot of greens until like June. It was pathetic. And so this time, the end of 2015, we decided to selectively take off what you wanted to take off as opposed to having it kicked off by the model. Mm-hmm. And then we could let it, so it's less of a shock.
So next, when we start,
took a while to get these stocks on there.
So when we start the next time, not this time, we'll come up with which ones we're taking off and which ones we're leaving.
Right. And we'll discuss that.
Okay. Let's take a look at the current list of stocks. A couple of names have been popped off. And I'm not going to add any this week because it's the end of the year and into the next year. And there's just nothing really exciting happening that I'm going to say, whoa, that has a real catalyst going for it or not at this point. So,
well, a couple that are your buy of Twitter.
Yeah.
Was a mistake.
Dud.
Everything else is green except the Wendy's. I have Wendy's buy, Wendy's Co. W-E-N. And I thought something screwy was going on and it's actually dead money. So nothing happened. Also TransDigm, which was an insider thing, I believe. It was based on some insider trading, but also the corkscrew chart.
Yeah, the very famous and noticeable corkscrew chart.
Yes, the corkscrew chart, which means it's still corkscrewing. And so it's going to hit this little point at the end of the corkscrew when it's going to skyrocket.
Mm, go vertical.
Or collapse.
And then that's when the cork pops.
Yeah, the cork pops. Everything else is fine. We got the Barclays way up, Herbalife. I guess Walgreens Boots Alliance, which is mine, the CEO is buying, and I guess it did a little dipsy-doo, even though it's way up.
Yeah, no, this was recent. I just noticed the chart. It went flying up recently.
Yeah.
To like 102, and then it came back down.
Yeah, back down to the old line, and now I got screwed. I got kicked out, even though this is a winner.
Yeah, 16.5%, pretty good.
Yeah, after the screw job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back on Resolute Energy. I think it's a pretty good list the way it is. I don't even know if we really should take anything off of it because it's kind of nice.
Right.
And there's not that many on here. I remember back in 2014, it was about 30 stocks. This is a pretty small number of stocks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stocks with 2 removed. It's only 7 stocks. So we'll figure it out when we do the next show. It's only 7 stocks. It's not a lot.
Okay. Sounds good to me. All right. Well, we're going to end it here, I think, right?
Yeah.
We're going to end it here. And this is the last show.
Wish everyone a happy new year.
Yeah. Happy new year. Happy Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. And
Festivus for the rest of us.
Thanks for writing in. And thanks for having a great year with us. And I appreciate it. And John appreciates it. I know that. And check out all the things that are available to you on DH Unplugged. Listen to the No Agenda Show on Thursdays and Sundays of each and every week. The Disciplined Investor. Actually, we just overhauled completely the DisciplinedInvestor.com website. A lot of really cool things on there. And go over to DH Unplugged. Follow me at Andrew Horowitz, one word, over on Twitter. And John Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter for all your latest updates.
Should be good.
All right.
And we will have the winners of the big cup.
Oh, yeah.
On the next show next Tuesday.
Okay, great. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.